voice of the land. The fate of our country lies within our hands. Time for better strategies and retreat. Change of nations before it's too late. We are getting strong and proud. Fighting the streets, defending our ground. American skinhead, boy the true. The sun and tribes are calling out to you. Take what's wrong and make it right. But it won't come easy. We're gonna have to fight. Confront the opposition till they hear what we see. Overcome the obstacles and stand in our way. We are skinheads, strong and proud. Fight in the streets and we stand our ground. American skinheads, loyal and true. The swords and stripes are calling out to you. Yeah. Difference if you don't make a sound, because we gotta stick together if you wanna be free. Don't let the fucking state tell you who you should be.
Not that one. Fuck it.
Here it is. Mr. Shanawankers.
Fucking pecky bastards!
You fucking shorts!
I'm fucking old!
Fucking dog bastards! Fucking
animals! Fucking pecky bastards!
We don't want you here! Get that British wife!
That nigga
fucking wife!
Fucking go on! Fucking pack
it up! Fucking back to the Punjab!
You buffoons, get back to the jungle!
Great.
Good evening and welcome to Rats to Rock and Reggae with Natasha Devine. And obviously, I'm Natasha Devine. What you've just seen is a clip from a classic British film called Made in Britain, starring Tim Roth. This film personifies what people generally think of as the stereotype of the skinhead. He's young, he's not highly educated, he's very poor, he's violent, he has a swastika tattoo. But yet, even in this film, they had to have some element of realism. And that was that his best friend was black. As you saw, a black and a white young man in the clip right there, smashing the windows of Mr. Shanawanker, which is the name of a Pakistani man who owned a corner shop that had had some run-ins with the main character, Trevor. I play this clip not just to promote some movie or anything like that, but it's to focus on tonight's subject, which is skinhead and the place of the skinhead in world history. I'm going to play another little clip for you here, but we're going to put it off to the side here. Song. It's one of the biggest songs in skinhead music history. This is Claudette and the Corporation singing skinhead music. There's a lot of historical significance to this song. I'm going to play the entire song. But I have a look at some footage. It's just some, you know, what they're saying about skinhead should be. Next line is skinhead say, "Reggae them can't reggae." So I'm going to go ahead and stop the song. I don't want to get too much copyright violation or whatever, but if you listen to the lyrics there, you clarify, they're talking about what was going on at the time. And this is a classic skinhead reggae song. And it is talking about the activities on the street of the day from the most simple, straightforward Jamaican perspective. the original skinheads were multiracial, black, white, and of course, yes, some people were racist, just like anything else. You go to the grocery store, some people there are racist, right? But it was a multiracial movement based around primarily black music. So when the average normal person hears the word skinhead, they think of something like a neo-Nazi from a movie. But then when you ask them, have they ever seen a real neo-Nazi in real life? Have you seen a real neo-Nazi skinhead besides for in a movie? Usually they haven't. For the most cases, they have not, because there are very few Nazi skinheads in the world. As a matter of fact, regular skinheads don't really consider Nazis to be real skinheads, because our culture is based in black music. If you have no understanding of the root of the culture and you disrespect the root of the culture, which is black music, how can you be part of the culture? Okay. This isn't just to clear the name of skinhead. This is to place skinhead in your mind in the proper place in the world history, in the history of politics. The idea of the racist skinhead came from the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company. They tried to demonize skinheads in any way possible. At first, the press would just make it look like they were violent. But the movement kept growing because that looked cool to the young people. Oh, they would get to go out and fight. That's awesome, right? So that kind of backfired to just making it seem like skinhead was violent. So what they did next was they kept pushing the idea that skinheads were racist. Why? And where would they get this idea that as a movement, they were racist, though? They're a multiracial group, all listening to Jamaican reggae, ska, Lou Beat, all this black music. Well, that's because Islam has been trying to reframe racism in the mind of Westerners for many decades now. So we're talking about 1969, when skinhead was first forming and becoming called skinhead. There was other names, lemonheads, peanuts, different types of things, hard mods that they would call people in this scene. But by 1969, they had pretty much settled on the name skinhead. The press, the Quisling press, as you now see in the Israel-Palestine conflict, and other issues, they wanted to placate the immigrant population. And no doubt they were receiving some sort of influence, pressure, or perhaps even funding from Islamo-fascist countries, specifically Iran. Was involved with Britain a lot. And as you know, when was the revolution in Iran? To turn it to radical Islam was in 1979, right? So by 1982, everybody thought skinheads were Nazis in the mainstream. Obviously, punk rockers, people in the scene, in the culture that had any kind of cultural knowledge, understood that there was not really a lot of racist skinheads, but that skinhead, yeah, it could be violent sometimes, right? Could be thuggish. So I'm going to play a clip right now from a guy named Roddy Moreno. He was a British skinhead. Well, he is a British skinhead. And he's very, very anti-racist. He's more to the left of than me. He was involved in the early versions of Antifa, as I was as a youth, you know. But I think he still kind of sticks with it even after they've gone off the deep end or whatever. But let me play this for you. Roddy Moreno, he's from a band called The Oppressed, by the way, if you want to look him up and listen to them. And he's just doing an interview and talking about playing in an anti-racist skinhead band and then being in the anti-racist skinhead scene. And it's just about a minute, so here, check it out.
And to all of you out there, f*** fascism before it f***s you.
So do you find the countries that, like, love you the most are typically, like, the countries that have got, like, the most racism problems?
They f***ing outnumber them now, so you don't ever see the boneheads anymore. It's like we won the battle, if you know what I mean. Obviously, they're still out there, f***ing racists, but they don't come to the scene spoiling things for other people now, because they know they'll get f***ing battered, like. So they play their little own underground gigs quietly. You don't even know where they're going to be. You buy a ticket and then on the day, you've got to phone this number. So they'll say, oh, meet at so-and-so train station. Because they know if it gets out before, anti-fascist action, and it's smash fucking place. Like, we've won the battle, if you know what I mean, yeah, with the boneheads. And slowly we're winning a battle with Joe Public. More and more people are coming to understand, like, not all skinheads are fucking racist, like. And if it wasn't for reggae music and Jamaicans singing skinhead moonstomp and all of that stuff, skinhead wouldn't have been what it was, you know what I mean?
So, even though I disagree with that guy and a lot of other politics, I agree with him 100% with what was just said right there. And to clarify, if you're a little bit perplexed, boneheads is a word that normal skinheads, non-racist skinheads, used to refer to people that are racist that dress like skinheads. They're boneheads. They're not skinheads. That's partially in reference to the fact that they're stupid, but it's also a reference to the death's head, the bony skull symbol of the Nazis, right? Now, he is making a good point. Neo-Nazis are a small group, and the anti-racists, we won. We did win. A lot of us in the 80s and 90s spilled a lot of blood trying to differentiate between the boneheads and us. A lot of us have experienced some of the most unusual situations in life, because as a skinhead, yes, people are perceiving you as some type of thug and all that stuff already just because you look urban, tough, whatever. But you have attacks from both the left and the right. You have people on the right who think that you make them look bad, like you represent what they call the far right. They believe that the far right is Nazis. Of course, we know that's a misnomer. But they think that anything that looks kind of tough, they're trying to avoid. And then when you go and look at the left-wing side, well, they'll just say, you know, you're racist, right? The issue is that it was never racism. Racist skinheads started becoming an actual thing because of the promotion in the press that there was such a thing as a racist skinhead movement. It wasn't real. It was something that the media built up, and then kids at home emulated it. So, well, I'm going to be a skinhead, and they'll put on, you know, boots and braces, dress up like we do, but they don't know what the culture's about. They're going with what they saw on the TV, which was that they're racist. So they're racist skinheads now. All of a sudden, life imitates the art of entertainment news. But previous to that, there was no such thing as organized skinhead racism ever. Why were they perceived as racist? Again, because Islam is reframing racism. The word Islamophobia is a word that was created by Iran to try and convince Western people that essentially, you know, Islamist imperialists were somehow the victims. And they were able to do this after so many years, after they had already experimented and successfully derailed the skinhead movement. Islam is a belief system, not a race. Muslims are a religious group, not a race. Some people might call them an ethno-religious group. There's a gray area, but we're certain that Muslims are not a race. However, Paki bashing, which was black and white people having conflicts with people who they viewed as both a cultural and an economic threat, that became skinheads are racist. Doesn't matter if they were anti-racist. Doesn't matter if it was one white guy in a crowd full of black people. It was a white supremacist racist movement because Muslims in that country wanted to pretend like they were not imperialist invaders, and they wanted to pretend like they were the victim. Soon they started disallowing skinheads to gather. They would say, oh, you know, this show has been shut down. There was a huge incident in which there was tons of mixed black and white skinheads in a club. I believe this was Brighton. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And there was a huge protest outside, which was primarily Muslims, Paki immigrants. And this was a big deal. It caused a lot of tensions in England. The press and the crown wanted to dismantle those tensions, and the easiest thing was to throw the skinheads under the bus. They said this was the fault of the skinheads. They shouldn't be gathering, having these type of events, even though they're just there to dance, listen to music. The British government, which owns the British press, demonized skinhead to the point where the idea of the racist skinhead spread all around the world. Spread like wildfire. Maybe it was part of some Operation Mockingbird international operation, but it became part of the media in America as well. Now, Sharp, Skinheads Against Racial Prejudice, started in America in New York City, and that was probably about 1985. Most of the original Sharps in America were either Jews or Italian Catholics. In America, skinhead was less associated with reggae, not because the skinheads were more racist here or something like that, but primarily because we don't have that large West Indian influence, because we don't have a huge number or a very large percentage of Jamaican and West Indian immigrants here. we do have Jamaican immigrants here, but our country is so large that they're scattered. It's not like there's a concentration of them that are creating a cultural influence like they did in Britain. In the United States, skinhead was mostly associated with punk and hardcore music. And I would say took a bit of a shift to the left. Unfortunately, a lot of people used to believe that being left-wing meant that you were against racism. A lot of people are waking up to that now and realizing that that's not true. But at the time, in the 80s, they were convincing enough that anti-racism was tied with the left wing. So a lot of us did get involved with left wing or left leaning groups. And in Minneapolis, in Chicago, in different areas in the Midwest, there came up what was known as anti-racist action. And that involved sharp skinheads and regular people that were like punks and they were not skinheads as well. And that was direct street action where take it to the Nazis and fight them. You see boneheads having a show, go bust it up, right? That kept going further and further left to become anti-fascist action, which of course that's a much more nebulous term, fascism, because there's governmental fascism, but then there's also people who can say your attitude is fascistic, and there's all this nitpicking that can be done when you're specifically referring to fascism, since there's so many different forms of it. Racism you can pretty much clearly define, but fascism, there's levels to it, right? So anti-fascist action became what you now know as Antifa. So that's the street side of it, where you see those people, and what did Antifa become? Attacking primarily, not even Nazis anymore, they're attacking people who they consider to be right-wing. They consider, you know, gay Republicans and black right-wingers, all these people, that they are going to lump that in with fascists. All of this confusion, again, goes back to the BBC acting like Muslims were a race. When Islamism, not Islam itself, but Islamism, the idea that you want to instill Sharia law for everyone, not just you have like a personal jihad, but you have like a want for that to be the law of the land. That is not compatible with the skinhead lifestyle. Skinheads often drink alcohol, not all of them, but skinheads like to fight. And more than anything, skinheads love music. Music is haram. Western music is played with the sounds of the unbelievers, and Peckies hated the loud dance hall nights. This is where the conflict came from Muslims trying to tell Western people, black and white, to stop playing their music. Think about that. Islamists telling people to stop playing music, and then the people who were playing the music get thrown under the bus. It was a soft milk run for October 7th, wasn't it? Now, I'm going to play another clip. It's going to tell you a little bit about the results of England demonizing the skinhead. And as you see now, the UK is not known for skinheads, but known for what? Muslims. What are the chances of that, huh? Let's have a look at this police officer from Britain.
Hi, I'm PC Paul. I've been a police officer here for 16 years. And in January, I reverted to Islam. Alhamdulillah, I'm very happy. Salaam alaikum, brother. How are you? My role is to interact with the community. So it's really nice because I've been here for so long. I know the young children. I know the old, the older people, the grandparents, the parents. It's like one big family, actually. So if I have a problem with a child, if they're naughty, you know, they're being stepping out of line, I can take them home to the parents. Nobody sort of, you know, a lot of people said, oh, inshallah, one day, Paul, you're going to become, you'll be Muslim. But no one really, they've not sort of tried to force me anything like this. And it's just over a period of time, I started studying the Quran and I started to look into Islam. And it's just such a wonderful, wonderful, peaceful religion. In a period of 5 months, I've read the Quran twice. I've not missed a prayer. Young people, they'll come to me and they say, Paul, because I can say to them, are you praying? Because I know I'm praying all the prayers. And it's nice because they'll come and say, actually, now we're praying. So alhamdulillah, it works together. Like I can rub off on them and then they will inspire me and they'll rub off on me. People have asked me, why did you choose Islam? And my answer is, I didn't choose Islam. Allah chose me, alhamdulillah. I've got no doubt in my mind, you know, I've been put here for a reason. I'm not just a local policeman, I'm like a brother, an uncle, a son, a nephew, a friend, and I'm blessed.
What a cuck. That guy is an example of the way that Britain is going. You see his soft, cucky smile and how he put his head down when he saw Muslims who were more experienced and more knowledgeable about Islam than him. So this is the culture that the skinheads were clashing with, no? Trying to change the way of life in the West, trying to make it quiet, trying to settle it down. Oh, well, if there's a kid that gets out of line, I'll just take him back to his parent. But that's not the role of the government. And you are a police officer, and you're deciding that now you're the local Muslim brother, and you're functioning in that aspect rather than as a regular police officer would. And as you see from looking at his blue eyes and white face, again, Muslims are not a race. This guy was really, he blew my mind when I watched that video. But let's check out this other video about Islam in the UK.
The 2021 census results are now available. According to the Office for National Statistics, as of 2021, there are now 3.9 million Muslims in England and Wales, which is an increase from 2.7 million in 2011. 3.9 million Muslims in the UK now totals 6.5% of the population. Now, for the first time in a census of England and Wales, less than half of the population identified as Christian. Now, while Christianity has been on the decline, Islam has seen a steady growth of over 40% in this decade. The 2010s were a difficult time for Muslims in the UK because of the Prevent strategy, the Trojan Horse affair, and various other propaganda in the mainstream media, including by the then Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Boris Johnson, who compared Niqabi women to the likes of a letterbox.
Do you agree that you brought about an unfortunate anti-Muslim rhetoric?
I don't.
Do you ever use those words again?
Yes, of course I would.
Despite the context of a national institutionalised Islamophobia, this is the same decade in which Islam and Muslims saw a steady growth of over 40%. A companion once said to the Prophet, may peace be upon him, tell me something in Islam about which I don't need to ask anybody after you. The Prophet ﷺ replied, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah and then remain steadfast. Remain Muslim. Once we are intellectually convinced of the one true God and the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, as being God's final messenger, it is quite easy to enter the fold of Islam. However, what's difficult is to remain Muslim. This is the advice that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, gave to the companion, and this also mirrors the teachings of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, Prophet Joseph, may peace be upon him, who supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, O creator of the...
Okay, now he's just getting into a bunch of Arabic gibberish, but I think you understood the point there. What he was saying is that despite a lot of public, quote-unquote, anti-Muslim sentiment, Islam has been increasing exponentially. Why do you think that would be? Because it's a gaslight. They do things to challenge the culture, to upset people, to cause tension. Then they put the spotlight on that tension, not on what happened in the beginning, but they put the spotlight on that tension and play the victim. Say, look, oh, everybody's being Islamophobic, and then all these people will feel sorry for them. And now they have an opportunity to try and proselytize to people. It's gotten so bad there that even the so-called skinheads there have cucked to this cultural genocide, which is essentially it is. They're trying to erase Western culture, in the case that we're talking about now, British culture. But yet people, part of the culture that was the original unifying culture of England, this was the first movement. Let me remind you, skinhead was the first multiracial movement in British history. There had never been anything where black people and white people were going to things together before skinhead. Let that sink in for a minute. Then all of a sudden, because they see a cultural and economic threat from Islamists, and we're talking about extremists, but this is not a racial thing. We're talking about specifically people who were not assimilating to British culture, right? Somehow this all got mixed up to say that those people were a race and skinhead's problem with them was because of race. Now, also keep in mind, skinheads are working class and a lot of us are not the most highly educated. So we have people now who identify as skinheads who are being friendly to this Islamic imperialism. For example, there's an event called this Great Skinhead Reunion. The first one was, I think, 2009? And it was supposed to be 40 years after 1969. It was called the Big 40. And subsequently, I think every year or maybe every other year, they're having this big thing. It's a skinhead reggae get together for old school traditional style skinheads. However, the guy that puts it on is a guy named Simon Laws. And he also had a couple other friends, this guy Phil and some other people that were helping to organize the event. And they didn't want my group involved because we're Zionists. And that might make it look like skinheads are racist. So therefore, that shouldn't be included in the great skinhead reunion. This is how far we've come. This is how much the Muslim extremists have cucked the West. You have people who were skinheads in the 70s, or well, in the 80s rather. Simon was in the 80s. Now saying, oh yeah, yeah, the Muslims are victims of racism. Muslims are not a race. I just showed you that fucking white ass cop. He's a Muslim. There's tons of white, black, Asian, whatever Muslims. You can become a Muslim today. As a matter of fact, I mean, literally today. It's not like Judaism where you have to study for a year to convert. All you have to do is say the Shahada and you're a Muslim. Boom. That's another reason why it spreads so quickly and so easily. It's very easy to convert to it, and they call it reverting. Oh, you were already a Muslim. You're just accepting it now. Because they believe everybody's secretly a Muslim. You know how they say that Muhammad somehow was the first Muslim, but there's also, you know, Moses was a Muslim, Jesus was a Muslim, everything, you know. And they've got these people brainwashed. I had a guy, one of Simon Law's assistants, putting on the Great Skinhead Reunion, actually send me one of those bullshit maps that has the stolen land from the Palestinians. And well, how do you feel about this? How do I feel about it? It's bullshit. It's a lie. That's how I fucking feel about it. And you're falling for it because you're a cuck and you don't want to appear quote unquote racist. Even though our movement was never fucking racist. Islam is not a race. Okay. But these people, they cuck so much because they want to look nice to people, and they've lost the fire. You see that, at least for the most part, most of the skinheads no longer exist. And it's because people like Simon Laws and other softies made it look uncool. How does it look cool if something that used to be all thug and be in the headlines about, oh, you know, these guys are badass, you better walk to the other side of the street if you see skinheads, and now it's, well, you know, we're trying to be inclusive and we don't want to offend anybody, and what the fuck? You're literally cucking to the people who worked with the Nazis and pretending like you're still supposed to be anti-racist skinheads? The Palestine movement, as you know, is connected with Hitler. How the fuck is that anti-racist? So, just like every other Western culture, skinhead has had a hard time. It's been through some shit. All right? There are still people, though, a handful, who keep it true. And I have to pay the respect to those few handful of people who still keep the original sharp ethic that it means not being racist, not that it means being not Islamophobic, whatever the fuck that is. You know, just to be against racism, you don't have to fucking believe in 37 genders. To be against racism, you don't have to fucking kiss the ass of Islamist imperialists. Meanwhile, non-white, non-Western origin people who have experienced the business end of Islamic imperialism are some of the few people that understand what we're talking about Persians, talking about Hindus. Okay, now not all of them are necessarily pro-Israel, but a hell of a lot of them are. A hell of a lot of them are pro-Western, and a hell of a lot of them are very, very awake to the imperial threat of Islamist colonization. So let me play you this other clip about Hindu-Muslim tensions in the UK. Now remember, what did the song say? Skinheads say, who? Didn't say anything about Indian people, did it? Now skinheads weren't bashing Indians. Skinheads were bashing Pakis because they were Islamic extremists. They weren't just, there have been Muslims before that in the UK, but these guys are hard line. Pakistan, you know that if you're a citizen of Pakistan and you have a passport from Pakistan, it's valid. It says right on there, valid in every country of the world except Israel, because they don't recognize Israel as a state. If you want to travel to Israel from Pakistan, you have to first go to another country and then travel from that country into Israel and make sure that the Israelis don't stamp your passport book, or else you will not be allowed to get back into Pakistan and your passport will be considered invalid. They're not the cool guys. Skinheads are the cool guys in this, okay? People weren't getting bashed, and they didn't necessarily just mean bashing in a physical sense either. Bashing can also be talking shit about somebody, all right? But yes, obviously there was some physical violence, but it was mostly just a cultural clash. Like, we don't fucking appreciate that type of attitude where they, you know, where the woman looks like a letterbox, and the man, what did they say? Packy, what? He don't reggae, he don't jegge. Number one, they hate fucking music. He don't spend money. He's an economic threat because they don't patronize the local British businesses. They stay within their own community. Skinhead say, Packy no live nowhere, meaning he doesn't live in the neighborhood. He owns a corner shop, but he doesn't live around here because he has money. If you look at the clip in the beginning, what kind of windows were Trevor and his friends smashing up? Were those working class windows? Were those shitty little houses? No, those were posh houses, weren't they? Those were nice fucking pads where Mr. Shanawanker was living. And notice that he and his friend had driven, but they had stolen the van, but they had stolen a van to drive to Mr. Shanawaker's place to smash the windows. Meaning he didn't live in the neighborhood. They couldn't walk there. Do you see the cultural clash? Do you see the gaslight? People come in from other cultures, make more money, and disrespect your culture, and then they don't want to talk about all of that and all of the disrespecting that they did to people. They want to turn it on the tensions that are created by that, and everybody look at that, and then they're going to play the victim. But Hindus know about what's going down. So let's check them out.
We've had numerous reports of an outbreak of disorder in parts of the East Leicester area of the city. We have got officers there. We are taking control of that situation. There are additional officers that are en route.
No! large rural area past the masjid, provoking the Muslim community, chanting whatever they were chanting, yeah? Now they're inciting, they're causing a problem, and they're actually instigating it.
So, a couple things there. First thing that I noticed about that clip was that the Muslim guy was trying to justify violence against Hindus. The Hindus marching through there, to him, was they are trying to, they're provoking the Muslim community, they have instigated the problem, and they're trying to incite just by having their own march after their temple had been fucking targeted by extremist Muslims. Do you see the gaslight I'm talking about now? They fucked with the Hindus first, and then when the Hindus react, they put the fucking press focus on that. You know, everybody look over there, not over here. Second thing I noticed, did you see all those fucking police standing around while the guy burned the Hindu flag? He climbed up on their temple, pulled it down. That's in America, that's a fucking hate crime, and I'm pretty sure it is in England too. And they did nothing. A masked man climbed onto a religious institution, pulled down their symbol and set it ablaze in the streets, and nothing was done by the police. I'm just saying, if the police acted like skinheads, people wouldn't fuck around like that. So in the end, as you see, Islamic extremists have reframed racism altogether to mean any type of cultural disagreement is now racism. This is why the fact that you let them get away with demonizing skinheads in that way, that's why we're dealing with what we're dealing with Israel today. First, they came for the skinheads, and I did not speak out because I was not a skinhead. Good night, folks.